through Romans chapter 14. And this is session one, which covers verses 1-4. And there'll be four sessions on Romans 14. This one is called Strong Faith. So let's look at that passage as we get started. Romans 14, starting with verse 1. As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats. For God has welcomed him. He has welcomed both of them. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. So this chapter helps clarify a controversy which is minor to us today, but was a major issue in the first century church. Does it matter in God's eyes what we eat? In our day, it doesn't matter in the church family what you eat. We have vegetarians like my wife and non-vegetarians like me, and not only comfortable worshiping together, but are perfectly compatible in marriage. In fact, my wife just prepared a meatloaf for me to enjoy later at dinner. Yes, real meat. And she is happy to fix it. As we know, in Paul's day, the Jews were very particular about their dietary laws. Certain foods were clean, and certain foods were declared unclean by directive in God's word. So the Jew would never eat meat from an unclean animal. In other words, no pork. When a Jew received Jesus as Lord and Savior and identified with Christ by baptism, he brought with him the cultural practice he was raised with. Therefore, he felt guilty, uncomfortable, and even evil if offered pork by a Gentile believer who had no such problem with pork. This problem is extended to animals sacrificed in pagan temple worship. Some believers avoided some foods. Some believers saw no problem partaking of the same foods. They understood their freedom, their liberty in Christ. Those who were early in their faith and did not understand their new freedom are called weak in the faith by Paul in this passage. Those who understood their freedom in Christ are called strong in faith in this passage. In our day, we have some believers who are weak in their faith and some who are stronger. Both groups are believers, and both should love and respect the other. This should bring harmony in churches who recognize that each group is trying to obey God by faith, even though they may come to opposite conclusions about certain practices. Later in session 4, we will see Paul's bottom line principle clearly stated in verse 23, which says, "For whatever does not proceed from faith is sin." Whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. And now let's identify some characteristics of strong versus weak believers. Please note, this is not good versus bad in the body of Christ. Both groups should be growing in faith and their understanding of their liberty in Christ. The strong will become stronger and the weak will also become stronger as both groups continue to mature in their journey of faith in the Christian life. Let's start with the weak or less mature believer. These folks are often frustrated in their work with the Lord. Dealing with the sin nature and seeing God's purposes in the struggles of their lives are goals which may seem unachievable. They often see the local church with a hypercritical eye. As they hear biblical teaching, they may realize they are not becoming more like Christ. They may not understand that good people may disagree over minor issues like food choices, as discussed above, or minor differences in forms of worship. These folks must see that love and unity in the church are more important than their personal preferences. Now, moving on to the stronger believer, let's identify their qualities. They acknowledge Christ's lordship in every area of their lives as best they can, by prompting and motivation of the Holy Spirit. They are daily, not just Sunday, alert to his leading. They search out God's purpose in every adversity. They ask, what would God's kind of person do in this situation? They have confidence that they know it and that they can take joy in watching him work as they obey. They follow this principle. You are right if you truly believe your own practice with a clear conscience. So, Father, these sorts of things over minor issues like forms of worship or what foods we eat or how many times we go to church in a week or are we doing this, are we doing that, these are minor things, but they create great friction among believers and within the church, and we just pray that as folks study your word, they'll realize that you're number one and their purpose in life is to glorify you, trust in what you did for them on the cross, think about the major issues and not get all upset about the minor ones. We pray for that in Jesus' name.